Hi, you're listening to audio from The Dwelling. We hope you enjoy the message, and for more information, please visit us online at www.thedwellingtx.org.
As he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "It was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made mud with the saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with the mud and said to him, "Go, wash in the pool of Siloam," which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors and those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, "Is this not the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said, "It is he." Others said, "No, but he is like him." He kept saying, "I am the man." So they said to him, "Then how were your eyes opened?" He answered, "The man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, 'Go to Siloam and wash.' And I went and washed and received my sight." They said to him, "Where is he?" He said, "I do not know." They brought the Pharisees to the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he received his sight. And he said to them, "He put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." But the others said, "How can a man who is a sinner do such signs?" And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, "What do you say about him since he has opened your eyes?" He said, "He is a prophet." The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he now see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him, he is of age, he will speak for himself." His parents said these things because they feared the Jews, for the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore, his parents said, "He is of age, ask him." So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see." They said to him, "What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered them, "I have told you already, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples?" And they reviled him, saying, "You are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from." The man answered, "Why? This is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world has been heard that anyone opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not of God, he could do nothing." They answered him, You were born in utter sin, and would you teach us?" And they cast him out. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You have seen him, and he is the one who is speaking to you." He said, "Lord, I believe." And he worshiped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I came into this world, that those who do not see may see, and those who see may become blind." Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, "Are we also blind?" Jesus said to them, "If you were blind, you would have no guilt. But now that you say, 'We see,' your guilt remains."
Booyah. Thank you, Julie. You're awesome. Appreciate that big time. Hey, that's where we're going. That's where we're going. I'll be honest with you, I'm not going to unpack this the way it needs unpacked. This John chapter 9 is such an powerful chapter of not only the Bible, but the book of John. It's so vital. It's so crucial for understanding John and just so many different things. But I'm going to try my best to share what kind of God's put on my heart, and I hope it blesses you this morning. Let's say a prayer if that's cool. Dear Heavenly Father, we just come before you now, and I just ask God that you would open our eyes. You would open our eyes to see what you want us to hear. God, open our ears right now to help us to hear what you would have us hear. God, that I would personally, Seth Kunze, would start to just disappear up here, that you would become more and more and greater and greater. God, that you would change our hearts, that you would mold us and shape us and direct us right now. God, I pray that a mighty work would happen this morning in this time. And as we take this word with us throughout the week, please work mightily, God. I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Cool, guys. What I wanted to do is start off this morning with just asking this question. If you guys remember, do you guys remember December 18th? Okay. I had to actually go back and look, but do you remember that day that Houston had? It was December 18th, after I've looked, when it was super foggy. Do you remember that? It was a super foggy day. So much so, there was actually a picture. I think it's a true picture. I honestly don't fully know, but I'm pretty sure it's a true picture. Did you guys see this? A couple of you saw it. Is it true? Like, that's not fake, right? December 18th was a really, really foggy day in Houston this past December. Okay, and again, I remember this picture, and I remember the day. If somebody were right now to be like, that ain't Houston, that's Cincinnati, here's how that would freak me out. That's Houston, right? Okay, I don't know. Wave, you can see yourself. No, I'm just kidding. That day was so foggy, and I remember that. It was just like this crazy fog all over. Last Sunday, anybody wake up early? No, lost an hour. But last Sunday was a really foggy morning. On my way, actually, to church, it was just so foggy. You've been in some dense fog before, right? Where it's just, it's heavy. It feels thick. There was a spot, I actually asked my dad yesterday to take a picture of it, and he couldn't get there. But there's a spot from where we live into town where there's always fog. It's like this low spot across this bridge, and there's just always fog there. Like when you're driving in, it's a foggy spot, right? And some of us have maybe grown up even in some areas where there's a lot of fog. I know in Pennsylvania, when we spent 4 years there, there was often just a fog over kind of the Smoky Mountains, right? And it was just, there's this fog. And when I think of this fog, I think of, you know, like last Sunday coming here, you literally have to like focus on some spot, like probably the little lines or something in a row, because you can't see. You can't see very well. And it's just thick and it's around you. And sometimes this fog is so dense, you just can't see where you are. I kind of like this picture because it's just this widespread fog over all of the Houston area. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking, here's this blind guy. Here's this blind guy whose fog, who's dealing with incredibly, like, he's dealing with this incredible struggle in his life. He's blind. Life is literally so foggy that he's blind. He can't see physically. I mean, imagine dealing with that. Imagine dealing with that struggle. If I were to blindfold one of you and like send you out this week into your week, that would be really hard, wouldn't it? It'd just be a challenging week for you. We have some people in this church who are on the verge of like blindness, right? And there's some people who are almost blind. Maybe one day we'll be blind. We have some people who know people who are blind in this church. Blindness is that's a real struggle. Like, I mean, living with being blind would be really tough. I mean, just think of all the stuff all day long that you see. You just get around, walk around. It just helps you see what you're reading. This is some serious challenges that come with the blindness. And as I was thinking about this, I was thinking about how oftentimes in our lives, as this guy's dealing with this, it's this reminder that that life isn't always rosy. Life isn't always rosy. Life doesn't always have like the sun shining. And it's just this like beautiful picture. It's just not always like that. Like life oftentimes is really hard. It's really difficult. There's depression. There's anxiety. There's pain. There's brokenness. There's deep stuff that we deal with. This blind guy, this blind man is dealing with that. Like his whole life. His whole life. Not only did he receive bad news at some point in his life, but he has dealt with bad news always. He's always had it. It's just with him. Anybody in this room dealt some cards of life that have just been sucky from like day one? Like when you look at your life, you're like, not only is my life tough at a moment, but like it's always been hard. I've always had to deal with this thing. I've always had to deal with this relationship. I've always had to deal with this abuse or whatever it might be. I'm in it. I'm dealing with it. And it's not pretty. It's not roses. It's not sunshine. It's crying. It's tears. It's heavy. It's like this, you know, you've been in a fog where it's just, it's so thick. It's heavy. You feel the weight. And you just, you don't even know what to do. See, last week, and in this series, we're asking the question, what do you do when? And last week I asked the question, what do you do when you have made a huge mistake? And we looked at David and Bathsheba, right? Today I'm asking the question, what do we do when life is just hard? When the going just gets rough? And like the roses, like they look pretty, but they like poke you. You know what I mean? And when it's just actually really starts to move from light to dark, from being able to see to blind. Anybody ever hear the news that you have like cancer? I mean, some of you have. Some of you have heard that. You've had the doctor say you have this disease. And I've been told when words like that come your way, you don't actually hear anything else after that. Is that? For those of you who have experienced that, where they've said, you have this problem, after hearing that, you don't hear anything else. Because it's like, that's it. Anybody ever hear some really bad news? You ever get a phone call? I remember where I was when my brother got in his accident. I remember where I was standing. I remember where I was. I could probably take it, maybe not the room. I know where I am standing on what side of the bed when we are told we can't find the baby's heartbeat. I know right where I am when pa, 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 pa. Like when we hear some of these things, when we hear that life is hard, it's tough. Some of you have heard and you've been given news that's so difficult. Some of you have been dealing with news your whole life. And it's one thing after the next, and financially you can't get out. You're feeling stuck. Relationally, you can't. What do I do in this relationship? I can remember. The restaurant I was at when I had to make a phone call to a lady that probably wanted to like kill me. And the relationship was sour and we got to talk. I remember the restaurant in the parking lot. There are difficulties in life when you start to feel the weight and it starts to get real. Like, you are dealing with it. What do I do in this? What do I do in this? And it's interesting because the blind man is blind, yes. But there's two senses at work. There's two senses going on in this story. One is the ability to see or not see. But there's another sense taking place, and it's what the blind man hears. What does the blind man hear? I want you to think about this a little bit. Imagine being blind. Imagine the things this guy has heard in his life. Jackie and I are watching a show on TV a little bit, Amazon Prime. Okay, so it's like aired 40 years ago. But in this TV series, there's a pastor. Kind of cheesy here, but there's a pastor who actually ends up going blind. And somebody makes, he ends up one day, they're like, man, that must really stink to be blind. And he says something to the effect of, actually, I'm able to see better than I've ever been able to see. And he's talking about the town and what's going on. Okay, kind of cheesy. But here's this guy, even though he can't see very well, this guy can hear like a ninja. You know what I'm saying? This is ninja ears. Here's what this guy's hearing. This guy is hearing things all the time around him. As he's hearing, oh man, there he is again. There he is again, wanting more money. You know, probably not right to him, probably standing off to the side of him, but this guy's got the ninja ears because he can't see, so his sense of hearing is through the roof. Ninja ears. Ninja ears, and he hears people say things like, yeah, probably is just the way it's going to be for him for a long time. Sucks to be him. That guy's kind of good for nothing. Like, how is he going to be of any help in our society? He's only draining. He's only taking. He's got to beg. Imagine, think about that. What has this guy heard from our culture, from his culture, from the surrounding world that he's living in? He's heard so many things. You know, Jesus ends up healing the man with spit. Imagine the amount of times this guy's been spit on. But, you know, nobody will see him. He's not going to be able to see anybody. What has this guy heard from the things that are said around him? Worthless, just the way it is. That's just too bad. What are the things as you're going through, as you're in the dense fog, what are the things you hear from our culture and from our world? What are the things you've heard people say? See, we've heard stuff, right? There's so many voices. There's so many people who want to speak into the midst of suffering. Because, see, suffering, and I'm going to actually preach on this after Easter. I'm really excited about this. Because suffering is actually something that just about everybody in the world actually agrees upon. Everybody looks at suffering and is like, yes, that's real. Right? I mean, we look at the shooting that took place the other day, 49 people killed. And we just see that and we're like, that is not okay. That is bad. That is terrible. And we see this kind of stuff going on around us. We watch the news and we're like, everybody, I don't care if you're a Christian, I don't care if you're Buddhist, I don't care if you're atheist, I don't care who you are. Most people who are a little bit sane look at suffering and they're like, that's suffering. That's real. And because of that, what happens is everybody speaks into it. Everybody's got a thought on it. This is where it is. This is where it comes from. This is what's going on. This is what's going on. This is what's going on. And everybody starts to speak into why. Why would that happen? Why are we going through suffering? And so we hear all sorts of voices. And then when we start to go through stuff, our world says stuff to us. It might be something like, it's just the way it is. You're going to have to deal with it. If you're blind, sorry, man, you're just always going to be blind. You're in that kind of relationship, you're just kind of stuck. It's just the way life's going to be. You're in this hole, sorry, man, it's just kind of the way it is. I don't know exactly what you've heard. But if you actually stop for just a nanosecond and just think about what are the things I've heard about the suffering that I undergo, you've heard stuff. You've heard stuff. Maybe it's go buy more crap. Maybe that's what it is. Just, you know, try to not think about it. Try to avoid it. Try to get out of suffering. You know, I've preached on that before. Whatever you can do to get out of suffering, just get away from it. We hear stuff from our culture as we undergo suffering and the stuff that's going on in our life. But then it's interesting because what happens in our text is fascinating to me. Because he doesn't only hear stuff from our culture, from the culture around him, the blind man. One day, he hears a different voice. He hears a different voice, doesn't he? What is it the voice of? What does he hear? One day, he's there begging. He's blind. He can't see. And he begins to hear this voice. And it says something like this. It sounds pretty good. It's actually got a little bit of theology in it. And the voice says something like this. Teacher, which man sinned? Who sinned? This man or his family that he was born like this? That's a pretty good theological question, right? That's a question we've asked before. That's the kind of stuff you hear out of the disciples. That's the kind of stuff you hear out of the church. Could you imagine being blind and hearing that? Think about that. Can you imagine? Being a blind person and having some church person say something like, hey, teacher, who sinned? And probably, you know, not to him. Hey, teacher, who sinned? And they think nobody can hear him, but this guy's got ninja ears, and he hears every word. Can you imagine the deep cut that makes in his life? Anybody ever have some church person tell you something and you wanted to slap them? Anybody? Anybody in the room? Anybody? Okay. Some of the people that have hurt me the most have been people that had good intentions but just didn't think it through. I've done that with people. I've said things when I probably should have just been present and given them a hug. You ever do that? You ever just talk too much? Instead of talking about all the theology and, oh, I wonder about this one, Lord. Wonder what the Bible says about this. You ever just give somebody a hug? You ever just come close to them and say, oh, hey, I'm really willing to do life with you through this? Or are you asking the theological questions like, which one, Lord, sinned? And we too, we start to hear stuff, even from the church, sometimes even from Christians. We just hear some weird stuff sometimes. We just hear some weird stuff. Stuff like, oh, but they're in a much better place. Yeah, but you don't see me where I am right now. And okay, maybe they're up in a better place, but I'm in a sucky place. See, the stuff, there's a tie here. There's a connection between the stuff that's heard and the stuff that then is seen or we're blinded with. And this is kind of a thought that I was thinking about. What we hear begins to actually blind us. What we hear, what this blind man hears, he begins to be blinded. Because not only physically, but imagine all the times he's been called worthless. And when you begin to hear and hear and hear that you're worthless, guess what you start to see? You're worthless. You start to get blinded to the realities that, no, I'm not. But you're blind from that. Because you've heard your dad your whole life say, you're worthless, you're worthless, you're never going to make it. Why do you want to do that? Why do you want to do that? And you begin to, in your heart, you begin to believe some of that stuff. You might have even had church people say things to you, and you're like, I don't know, but okay, if that's what it is, then that's what it's got to be. This is just always going to be here. This is the way it's, I'm just going to suffer this the rest of my life. I'm alone. You're always going to be alone. You'll never find someone. Okay. And so you're blind. See, what we hear begins to blind us to the things that actually matter. And what happens? What's the first? I can't even preach. You know, you are nervous today because sometimes I read one verse and I preach 30 minutes. You know. But I don't even know if I'm going to get past verse 2 here, folks. Because look at verse 1. Verse 1, as I'm looking at it, what is Jesus? What happens? As he passed by, and this is just John setting this up brilliantly. He passes by, and it says that Jesus saw the man. That's brilliant. This guy's blind. This guy's blind. So right off the bat, we hear something incredible. Right off the bat, we hear something like, Jesus sees the man. There's going to be a play on this, right? There's going to be this tie between what we see and what we hear. And there's going to be this, this is going to be brilliant. And this is exactly what John does in this chapter. He just lays it out brilliantly. It's the most beautiful thing. But the first thing is, Jesus sees the man. Listen, today, wherever you are, whatever you're in, Jesus sees you. Just know that. Jesus sees you today. He sees you. He sees you. He sees you. And then it's interesting because Jesus doesn't just see, but Jesus is another voice that this blind man begins to hear, isn't it? Look at John chapter 9, verse 3. And his disciples ask him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus, I'd love Jesus to be annoyed here. I don't know. Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned, you bunch of, or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. It wasn't this guy that sinned or that. Listen, and I understand this. We can open up God's word and we can find places where it's true. It's true. You make some stupid choices, you might face some consequences. You might have those consequences for a long time in your life. I understand what the disciples were trying to do. But Jesus looks at this situation and says, that's not what's going on here. That's not what's going on here. The works of God, the mighty works of God are going to be displayed in this. And you are going to see something incredible. You are going to see something that you actually wouldn't have been able to see if this wouldn't have taken place. Pooh, man. If we were in some churches, people would be like, preach, preach, preach. Listen, the more Jesus is heard in this text, in this chapter, the more Jesus is heard, the better the man sees. The more he sees, the more Jesus is heard. Oh man, there's some people that need to hear that. The more Jesus is heard, the better the man begins to see. Oh, come on, that's tweetable. You could tweet that right now, I'm telling you. Because what happens? Jesus comes and says to the man, he says, put some mud on his eyes, right? Like the most disgusting healing of all time. Okay. Put some mud on his eyes and says, go. Go to the pool of Siloam and be healed. You're going to be healed. And the man goes, he washes, he comes back, and the guy can physically see again. Guy's been born, he's been, and we don't know how old this guy is. He's at least for sure, because you come of age at 13 years and one day. He's at least 13 years old. The guy's much older, of course. It just makes sense that the guy's older. He's kind of doing life on his own. This guy's maybe an old teenager. He could be 40. We don't know. We don't know. This guy's been blind for a long time, and now all of a sudden the guy can physically see. An incredible miracle takes place. He even says it later. He says, man, has that ever even happened before? I mean, that's incredible. The God of the, like, Jesus healed me. And he doesn't even know exactly who this guy is. He's a prophet. See, he's only heard so much. He's only heard so much, but the more he hears, the more he begins to see. And his eyes, the physical healing of his eyes, is just the starting point of what God's mighty works in his life is happening. Listen, it just keeps getting bigger and bigger, and his pupils continue to just expand and expand until the pupils of his heart begin to be part of this. And it takes place more and more and more. Listen, the spiritual thing, the thing that Jesus really sees in this blind man is the need for the eyes of his heart to be opened. Physical healing, yes, that's important. There's suffering that's going on. It's going to be hard. That I'm going to bring to you. But something even bigger needs to take place. Something even bigger needs to take place. And what does Jesus do? Look at the very last part of the chapter. I don't have it on the screen, but he says to the man, he says, "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" And the man says, "Who is he, sir, that I may believe in him?" Jesus said to him, "You've seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you." And he says, "Lord, I believe." Those pupils are just dilating more and more and more. And Jesus says, "For judgment I came into the world." And then in verse 40, he says this, "Some of the Pharisees near him heard these things and said to him, 'Are we blind? What, are we blind?' And Jesus says, 'Because you say you're not blind, you're blind. You're blind.'" Follow me here. Whatever you're going through, you will see. If today you feel the weight and fogginess of your life is so much that you can't see, you're actually blind, I'm telling you something. You will see. You will see, but you first must hear. You first must hear. You first must hear from the one who speaks. Not just like, "This is what I think about suffering. This is what I think about suffering." The one who speaks truth into your life, you must hear him first. You will see. I don't know when that's going to happen. But you will see. See, Jesus is always speaking. There's a story in Luke chapter 7. Some of you are like, "Well, what if the person's deaf?" Well, there's a story in the Bible about that. Jesus, in Luke chapter 7, he comes to a deaf guy, can't hear. And Jesus comes and he puts his fingers in the man's ear. And Jesus, he touches his tongue, right? And Jesus sighs heavily. What's Jesus doing? He's speaking. He's doing sign language with the guy. He's saying, "I'm about to heal you, brother." He's speaking right there to the guy. The barriers of blindness, the barriers of your blindness, whatever they might be today, Jesus can break right through those babies. You understand that? You can't see, he can bring you healing. You can't hear, he can make it so you can hear. You don't understand who God is, he can make it so you understand. You don't fully get, "I don't know what I think about it." Jesus can bring to you, he can break the barriers of whatever might be blinding you so that you might see. But you got to hear him. You need to be able to hear his voice. Jesus says, "My sheep will know my voice. They're going to know me, what I'm saying to you." Are we in God's word? Do we allow God's word to speak to us? Do we even hear his voice? Because what I'm concerned about is I think that if we don't let God speak to us, we will remain blind. And as soon as we're blind, we will say things like, "Am I blind?" And Jesus will say, "Am I really blind? Because you said, 'Am I really blind?' You're blind." I'm concerned about that for some of us. Are we hearing from Jesus? Do you believe that God wants to display in your life his mighty works, even in the midst of your biggest sufferings? Do you believe that God wants to do something and he would display some marvelous wonder? Do you believe that? Now listen, I get it. I understand that that might not happen in this life. You may suffer. Whatever you're going, if Jesus hadn't brought that man to be able to see, if he hadn't been able to see, it doesn't mean the truth of what I'm talking about goes away. The suffering that you're undergoing, you might continue to go through. And it doesn't mean, unlike some of the people who preach in this area, it doesn't mean you don't have faith. It doesn't mean, oh, okay, well, if I only believed that. See, that's what everybody believes. That's what the disciples believe. That's what our culture and our even some of our churches teach. That if you're doing it right, then life gets good. You're doing it wrong, life's bad. That's what the rabbis are teaching at this time. And so we start to think of what this blind man, he's believing about himself. Man, maybe I'm doing something wrong. Doing something wrong. I'm going to work something mighty in that. I'm going to work a wonder in your life. And for some of us, it might be until Jesus comes again. We might have to wait that long. But I'm telling you, that in this life, as we deal with what we deal with, we keep in mind the one who at the end of Revelation chapter 20, the very end of the Bible, do you know what God says? Do you know what God says? He says, I am making all things new. I'm making it brand new again. See, this is why this is such an important story in the Bible, because the man never had eyes. This isn't the restoration of his eyes. He never could see. This is, you will receive something brand new right here, right now. And the guy, for the first time, is able to see physically. For the first time in his life, he's able to look at Jesus and see something deeper than just a dude. Are you the Son of Man? The Son of God? You're divine. You're God in the flesh. And this all, of course, goes to the end of John. And I know if you maybe lost me if you don't know your Bible, but the very end of John is the story of doubting Thomas, who ends up saying, my Lord and my God, as he's looking at Jesus, who he's been with for the past years. He's been hanging out with this guy for a long time. He's never seen Jesus as God. And now, my Lord and my God. How does that happen? Well, his eyes are opened. In a new way. God allows it to happen. That's a powerful thing. I don't know what you're going through today. I know you will suffer. I know you will suffer. It's the worst thing I have to kind of bring sometimes, but it's a truth. 1 Peter chapter 1, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you're going through. Don't be surprised at this stuff. It doesn't mean you don't have faith. Don't be surprised when you start to go through stuff. I don't know what you're going through today, but I want you to understand something. Jesus sees you. He sees you in the midst of it. He speaks to you. He's saying things to you. Do you hear him? For some of you, it's stuff like, I'm with you always. I'm with you in this. For some of you, it's be patient. Suffer well. Keep focused on me. I don't know exactly what he's speaking to each and every one of you, but he speaks into our lives. And the more we speak, the more we listen, the better we'll be able to see. May you be blessed by that word today. And may it penetrate deep inside your heart. May the fog lift. May the fog lift a little bit. You know what I'm saying? And even if it doesn't, Jesus is right there with you. He's right there with you. See, kid, sorry, this is where my wife says you should stop right there. But just check this out. Just listen. Just one more quick little thing. Can God work? Can God work through suffering? Does God work in that? Does God display his might in suffering? Have you ever heard about Jesus dying on the cross? Have you ever heard about the one who came and suffered it all? He suffers hell. He suffers sin. The suffering Jesus underwent is one we'll never have to undergo. Jesus went under this kind of suffering. And it's there that what happens? The power of God is at display. A defeat of sin, defeat of death, defeat of the devil for you and for me. Man, can God work through suffering? That's where he works. That's where he's working, folks. You're undergoing something today. Not cool, but keep your eyes open for how God's going to be at work in that, because I guarantee you he is. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, I thank you and praise you for this time, to be able to gather together around your word, to gather around how you're speaking to us, Lord. God, for those of us whose eyes are our ears, Lord, for where our ears are stopped up, where we're hearing things, God, that's beginning to lead us to blindness, whether it be things from our culture or from good and well-meaning people, where the things we're hearing are leading us to blindness, please stop those things, God. And God, today we want to hear your voice. We want to hear you speak to us, that our eyes might begin to see more and more and more. Open up our eyes today, Lord. Open up the eyes of our hearts. God, work today in a way that maybe you've never worked in somebody's life. Open that heart up to understanding, to being able to see that they actually are blind. And in that confession of blindness, in that confession of, I am such a broken person, in the midst of that, you promise they'll see. You promise they'll see. God, for some of us, it's going to be having to wait even longer. Give us the strength to endure well, to suffer well, to keep focused on you, oh God. We thank you, Jesus, that you have suffered for us, that you saved us. And we look to that day when you will return and you will make all things new again, brand new. We look forward to that day. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. May our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you. Even if you're in a dark spot right now, may his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Go in peace. Amen. Have a great week, y'all. You're awesome.